Hello, thank you for joining me today on Sunday, August 16th, 2020, for Facing the Situation, Building Spiritual Resiliency podcast. This is Prophetess Mary Ayodele talking to you from the Gulf of Mexico bioregion of the United States of America in Houston, Texas. This is Season 3, Episode 3. And we are continuing part three of our discussion of noticing the natural rhythms in your life. Once again, this is part three of our ongoing discussion of recognizing and noticing the natural rhythms in your life. Let's open with prayer. Give an honor to the Most High. We give thanks for coming together again to share your word and wisdom in direct application to our lives. We pray that any strongholds against us, our families, our communities, against our minds being free, against our freedom of movement, growth, and expansion be dissolved right now in the name of Yahshua the Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity to come together and step out in faith and action to embody and live the word of the Most High Adonai. In the name of Yahshua, amen. So here we are once again talking about recognizing the natural rhythms of your life. Last episode, we talked about noticing rhythms in your community. In the first episode of season three, we talked about noticing rhythms in you personally. And today we're going to talk about noticing rhythms in the culture. Now, you are you, and you are involved in your community. You belong somewhere on the planet. And then there's a larger circle around that. So your culture would be, for example, the country you live in, the region you live in. It's a bigger picture than just your personal rhythms and the rhythms of your family or your neighborhood, right? You could even think of it if you're in the United States or somewhere that organizes their land in states. You could think of it as your county, but more than that, like your state or your region, okay? So there are natural rhythms that affect the entire culture. And that includes you. For example, the example I like to use so people can really get it is that some of our listeners may be atheists or agnostic or of different walks spiritually than the Judeo-Christian faith, right? And regardless of what spiritual persuasion you are or espouse or believe in or don't believe in, the country of the United States of America observes Christmas as a holiday. So if you did not believe in Christianity, for example, you would not be able to attend school that day because all schools, public schools, public universities, and I would say private universities in the United States are closed on Christmas Day, December 25th. So regardless of your personal feelings or your personal desires or your belief system, you cannot overcome the cultural movement in America to have some recognition of Christmas, which is tied into a religious tradition. Okay? That's what I mean by a cultural recognition of rhythm. So I think people who are vegetarian could attest to what I'm saying, that you may desire not to eat meat or animal products for the vegans because, you know, you want to respect life and you have political and spiritual reasons for that. And that's great. And that won't stop the McDonald's from opening. So at this point in time, those two food choices, for whatever reason you've chosen them, do not change the culture. Like McDonald's or Burger King is still going to sell hamburgers. One of them sells a plant-based burger, but they haven't eliminated beef burgers because of your personal choices. So you have to recognize the rhythms of the culture that you are involved in, okay? Because that does affect you. People, again, who are vegetarian or vegan, understand when they're invited to a dinner party or a party or something like that, their personal choices bump into other people's personal choices. And they either have a welcome, loving community group of people who respect their choices and observe that by having something there for them to eat, or they know they're going to walk into a barbecue where people are serving pork and beef and other animal products, and they may not have anything on the grill for them, except maybe vegetables. So understanding the rhythms of your culture can help you interact with it much more effectively. Why it's important is because you have to be in this situation. You walk in this planet with the rest of us. And a lot of people's anxiety, fear, depression, and other emotional maladies come from what I'm talking about. They're just not accepting that the world's moving differently than they've chosen to move. And there's a dissonance happening. There's like this internal conflict that can manifest in emotional, physical, mental, or even spiritual pain. And there's no need to bring pain to yourself, right? The second thing to talk about is what to look for. I've made some pretty clear examples. Holidays that you don't think have anything to do with you. Holidays that you don't celebrate, recognize, agree with. Okay, that's cool, but your school is still closed. So you may want to go into the lab, or you may want to go to school year round. But if you're in a culture that shuts down in a religious observance, you're not going to be able to overcome that reasonably or successfully most times. It can cause you a great deal of stress, unnecessary stress, in my opinion, and internal conflict. It is important to think about how to interact with it. So we have a whole different discussion coming up about how to change the world, because clearly the world has changed. We're talking through plastic machines. We are able to do things now that were on science fiction shows 40 and 50 years ago. So the world is changing and adapting to new tools or toys to facilitate communication and sharing. And the world has changed politically and otherwise. So the world can change. We've seen it in our lifetimes. Even if you're 20 years old, you've seen something change in the perception of people in the past 10 years, right? So that's possible. However, we're talking about recognizing the natural rhythms, because there's some things that we're gonna talk about that you may not wanna move toward changing. You just may wanna move toward dealing with, because you will be stronger spiritually. It will build your spiritual resilience to step into the world, understanding that it's not going to meet you on your terms. However, you can develop the strength to meet it and to overcome it. One of the basic well-known statements of the faith of following the way of Yahshua, the Christ, is you will be in the world, but not of the world, right? And we see popular movies that give us these anti-heroes who come into situations that are not favorable to them, and they overcome those situations. All those movies and books are doing, in the case of the novelizations, are simply telling the same truth, that you can overcome what you step into without it changing. You can change. And at times, that's a very valuable skill to, first, it's valuable to even know it's possible. And secondly, it's valuable to be able to do it. It builds spiritual resiliency on a major level. This is not to say that we should not stand up for social justice issues and personal justice and family justice. You know, we have habits in our families. Many times it need to stop happening because they simply don't serve any purpose anymore except to create disease, misery, and death. Early premature death. So we want to stop those habits. However, there's a difference between stepping into the world as a spiritually resilient person versus stepping into the world to somehow turn into a victim of it and then gain a lot of attention and support on the victimization level. So in this podcast, we don't create victims. We don't celebrate victims. We don't move around as victims of anything. Some people may describe many of the challenges that my listeners have overcome as placing them in the role of a victim. And if that's how those people want to relate to the world, bully for them. However, on this podcast, we do not create, celebrate, or build an edifice around victims. This is not a monument to victimization. And then we're going to sit up and talk about how being a victim works. This podcast is actually a bit scary because we're talking about not only not being a victim, but not even describing yourself in terms of victimization. And that brings about a whole different mentality of being when you're not walking with your head hanging down, feeling like, you know, you are a victim and therefore something should happen for you and to you. So you're not a victim anymore. That can be a very dangerous and unsettling and toxic mindset. And I have found many people, including myself, to be deeply concerned about labeling people as victims and then enforcing that label on them so they can believe it. And then they begin to act like victims. Because if you're a victim, you need somebody to save you. And yes, the tenets of Christianity talk about a savior, but at some point, like now, we'll start to unpack those ideas and we can talk about them in a completely different context than many of our listeners here today. Many of you have ever been exposed to it. So it was never meant for you to sit around and wait for someone to come pull you out of your pickle. That's not the point here. You have been given a will. And you have been given agency, direction, the ability to make choices. Yes, there may be resistance to the choices you make. I will give you that. That's what the world is about, resistance. However, you can walk the world as a loving, kind, firm, insightful, compassionate human being who is perfectly able and capable of taking care of her or himself in a fashion to deal with what you run up into. So we're going to talk about some indigenous ways of seeing the world where you definitely don't walk through as a victim. You may encounter challenges and you may encounter forces that want you to be their victim, but you can develop certain skill sets that you are already born with. You don't have to pay for this. You know, you can't take a workshop in it and get it. It's already in you, and you can develop what's already in you to take care of yourself, right? And you can gather with other people who feel and believe the same way, and then you have a community of people taking care of themselves. And that community can grow, and it can affect the culture. So I want to share those ideas with you today, and I want to share the idea that next week, we will talk about, for extra credit, right? We're going to talk about recognizing the cycles of nature and the cosmic forces. So we are part of a cosmic theatrical movement going on. You know, we're on the earth and the earth circles the sun, and the sun and the earth we're part of a solar system, right? And so forth. And we're part of the universe. So we're part of a cycle of cosmic movement as well. And next week we'll have a brief discussion of the cosmic movements of the universe. Very briefly talk about what some cultures have described those movements to be and where we fit into that and why it's important to notice how we are moving around the sun. That's why we know when it's summer or winter and we know when to plant things and when to harvest them. And I am a herbalist, a community herbalist and an independent ethnobotanist. So we're going to talk about plants. We talked a little bit in the second season about that and how that relates to your spiritual resilience. First, I want you to understand how plants fit into the overall picture of life and where you fit into it. So you understand you share this planet with different life forms and plants are one of those forms. So thank you so much for joining me once again. You are a blessing to many people with your support of this podcast by listening to it, digesting the ideas and pondering the ideas, by journaling about it, sharing the ideas with your neighbors and friends, and your donations are all so wonderful and so, they have so much more impact than you would know. And I want you to know that you are planting seeds every time you tune in and think about one of these ideas. And if you take it to the next step to implement it in your life or the lives of your family, that just, you know, that magnifies it exponentially. The verse for this week that I ask you to read on, meditate on, and ponder is coming from Psalm 1, verse 1. And it reads, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of Adonai, and who meditates on his law day and night." That is Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, actually. Psalm 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And this is from the New International Version of the Bible. I welcome you to read any version you want to. You can find free versions to read and compare on the internet at BibleGateway.com. And I'll read it again. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of Adonai, and who meditates on his law day and night." Please ponder that verse, those two verses. Pray with them at sunrise daily. I welcome you to join me in sunrise daily prayer. It happens for me around 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. It can happen for you anytime the sun rises where you are. If your schedules are reversed, if you work at night and you come home when the sun is rising, feel free to pray with it then. Sunrise prayer is extremely impactful, as well as midnight prayer. And I expect that we will move toward midnight prayer as this podcast moves on and the Spirit of the Most High leads me to share those things with you. So right now we're doing sunrise prayer. And please pray with this in the mornings, meditate on it, write it down, print it out, put it on your wall, put it in your journal. Prepare these verses in a way that you can easily access them, to rely on them when you don't know which way to turn, you don't know who to take advice from. Psalm 1 is your, that's your rubric. That's your litmus test. That's where you go. If you say, this person is telling me to do something, but I don't know if I can really trust what this person is saying to me, I don't know if I can trust their advice, go to Psalm 1, hold it up. And this applies to you if you are living the life of following Yahshua, right? Because then these Psalms have a different application in your life than if you're not following Yahshua. And if you'd like to know what I'm talking about, what do I mean follow Yahshua? Feel free to write me at prophetessmaryayodele@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook at Lady Mary Ayodele or Instagram at Lady Mary Ayodele. And we can always have a private conversation about that. Or you can email me your question and I can answer it anonymously on the podcast. If you are a follower of the way of Yahshua the Christ, these Psalms impact your life differently. And a follower of the way means you are conscious of following Yahshua. It's not like, well, I don't know, you know, it someday it works, someday it don't. This isn't like watching a different TV station. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you've chosen a spiritual path and following Yahshua. If this is part of your path, these Psalms are going to impact your life differently. If you've chosen not to follow Yahshua, you don't know what I'm talking about, but you simply like the verse anyway, feel free to read the book of Psalms in its entirety. I can give you links if you're interested. Most Bibles only have 151. When I say most Bibles, I mean Protestant Bibles in the West, but Eastern Orthodox Bibles have up to 155 Psalms. We are missing thousands of Psalms. We're told that the person David, who is believed to have written many of these Psalms, and also his son Solomon is said to have written some, but we're told that David wrote a different Psalm every day. So that means there's thousands that have been lost, or they just haven't been found yet. They may still live on in oral tradition around the world. However, for your regular standard free Bible on the internet, Protestant Bible, you're going to find about 151 and or 150. And when you find those Psalms, read them, read one a day. It can change your perception of how you move through the world. And students of comparative religions will see so many parallels in them with other wisdom systems. So again, it can open and expand your perception of the way of Christianity as not existing in a silo by itself, but being a part of a larger interwoven network, network of wisdom systems and wisdom text. And that can help a lot of you who may have been church hurt, people who went to church and were hurt by their experiences there, and they kind of threw out the church social set, but they also disconnected from the relationship with the Most High. And that's what you want to focus on. Your relationship with the Most High is what is very important. And in that relationship, you can come into community again with like-minded people that are good-hearted and have good character and follow the way. So don't give up if you have been hurt or disappointed or somehow dismayed at what you've seen at a, you know, in an organized religious way. That could be a tool of the enemy just to throw you off the path, because you want to focus on maintaining a close relationship and connection with the Most High. So I love you all. Thank you for signing in and listening again. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can send a donation of any amount to prophetessmaryayodele@gmail.com through PayPal. If you'd like to make arrangements for another way to do that, you can write me and we can do that. Thank you so much for your time, your attention, your insightfulness and wanting to build your spiritual resilience. Take care, be blessed, and I look so forward, by the grace of the Most High, to gathering with you again next week. Blessings.